want to have fun. I mean, just pure, unadulterated fun. Well, at the end of Volume 5, because yes, we are finally there. Hello, welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Cali. At the end of Volume 5, we have one of the most fun series on the planet. And that is Urusei Yatsura. Now listen, Urusei Yatsura, we've got 40 plus years of media just right there to talk about. The manga is great, first and foremost. It's written and illustrated by Rumiko Takahashi. It really set the standard for rom-coms moving forward in the anime and manga community. It was her first major work, I'm pretty sure. It cemented her, in my heart, as one of the greats. I would say that she is the queen of manga and anime because of works like Urusei Yatsura. And you may know her from a previous episode that I did on Mermaid Saga. She also did Ranma, Inuyasha, Meizani Koku. It goes on and on. She has done so much for the anime and manga community, and it truly would not be what it is without her. And by extension, without Urusei Yatsura, because it defined a genre. It defined what anime would be moving forward. Let me break down how this episode is going to go. So, the manga came out in 1979. The first episode of the anime, directed by Mamoru Oshii, came out in 1981. Between 1981 and around sometime in the 1990s, they had a series of films, OVAs, and of course, the show ended. So I want to talk about the show original and the movie. And then in 2022, there was a reboot that was done by David Production that is incredible, mind you. We'll talk about that last. So let's start off by talking about 1981, which is, by the way, my third favorite anime of all time. The first half of the 1981 anime, Urusei Yatsura, is just hilarious, entertaining, very influential. Mamoru Oshii, of course, being the director who would go on to make Pat Labor and Ghost in the Shell and Angel's Egg. He somehow made this show about a young man named Taro Moriboshi who wins a game of tag against an alien invader named Lum, who ends up becoming his stay-at-home wife. I kid you not. He somehow managed to take that premise and do some great things and some not so great things, but also it's Mamoru Oshii mixed with Rumiko Takahashi. Even if everything wasn't necessarily agreed upon, it stands as an excellent testament of time. And the second half is great too, don't worry. But just to be able to say that you saw something in the 80s that Mamoru Oshii did like 80 or 90 episodes on, that is a feat. Because there are 195 episodes of the original Urusei Yatsura anime. I mentioned Mamoru Oshii also because Oshii gave a great lesson in show running. And I mean that in a good and a bad way. Mamoru Oshii took a lot of liberties when it came to Urusei Yatsura. The manga itself it's great. It follows the romantic comedy genre standards that it's set, and it does so flawlessly. Mamoru Oshii said, "Let's get experimental. Some episodes absolutely do not make sense, and are original only to the anime. They have nothing to do with the manga." He did that quite a few times. He also added characters and story elements that weren't present in the manga. Now, sometimes taking creative liberties can be really great. Other times, you get characters like Megane and Jariten, who I cannot stand. But he did a lot of things so well that I'm willing to look past the fact that they are ultimately forever tied to this 1981 version. I, of course, have some landmark episodes for Urusei Yatsura that I'd like to share, one of which being Pitter Patter Christmas Eve, which I think a lot of people will say was when Urusei Yatsura really cemented itself anime-wise as something that people would remember for years to come. After You've Gone is probably the second example of that. If you really stuck around from Pitter Patter Christmas Eve, because that added kind of a more dramatic element to it that we hadn't seen before. And Oshii really tackled that very well. And then in the second half of the show, the one that Oshii wasn't involved with, I love Darling's Kindness, which these characters are kind of irredeemable in a sense, but then again, they're all teenagers. But this just makes the main guy look really good. And I'm doing a service and disservice by kind of telling you some things while leaving other things out. And the reason that I do this is to say, no matter what I say and what I don't say, this anime is a trek. All three of them are. The two series and the set of movies. They're all worth watching. They're all worth exploring. And I urge you to do so. So I'm just giving you a few factoids and a few of my opinions, including that piss poor description of what the show is about, because it truly is a single wire of what lays the framework for, honestly, one of the greatest of all time. Half of the episodes of Urusei Yatsura, to go back to how show running can influence an anime, this anime in particular, half of the episodes, to go back to some of the strengths that come with Oshii's show-running talents, the episodes in the original 1981 anime start off as half episodes, so you get two segments per episode, and then later on they just become full-fledged episodes. So you get two stories at first, and then it just goes into one. And none of this is inherently connected. Aside from introducing a few key characters, you can watch episode 10, then go all the way to episode 44. Nothing will have changed. This very much can be watched out of order, and you would not miss anything. I really have a huge appreciation for how the original Urusei Yatsura used and popularized both city pop and anime fashion, because the two main characters, Lum and Ataru, they had multiple outfits that all just looked so great. They were truly styling and profiling. As you probably remember from the first half of Volume 5, we talked about Hibari from Stop Hibari-kun. And Hibari was very much one of the 80s it girls alongside Lum. Lum is the only one I would say who outshined her as an it girl from the 80s, because she had it all. She had great style. She had a wonderful sense of humor. Everything about her was just charming. And she was an alien. After Oshii left, there was a lack of really trippy dreamscapes and existentialism that was shown all throughout that first half of Urusei Yatsura. And honestly, you can see that in his later works, like the three that I described earlier. You can see that in Ghost in the Shell, you can see that in Angel's Egg, you can see that in Pat Labor. And this second half of Urusei Yatsura continued the full episode fashion, and it allowed for more stories to be fully fleshed out, even though some of them may have gone on for too long. But that's a critique that I would even give to the Oshii run. I would say that the voice acting was also just stellar for every character, especially Laminataru, which, fun fact, they ended up playing their respective character from 1981's run, Parents, in the 2022 version. So the voice actress for Lum played Lum's mom in 2022, and the voice actor for Ataru played Ataru's dad in 2022, which I thought was just really sweet. To be perfectly honest with you, 1981 is a charming show, and it can be an amazing watch when taken in smaller doses. I will be perfectly honest with you, it took me about 5 years to finish Urusei Yatsura. One, because episodes get getting put up and taken down consistently. And two, after maybe binging 5 or 10 episodes, I'll be like, oh my god, I need a break, I can't do this. Then I'll come back a few months later and I'll be like, oh, this is great. Oh my god, I can't do this, I gotta put it down. And then I put it back up, and then I picked it back up, and then I kept putting it back down and picking it up until eventually I think I had maybe 30 episodes left, and I had a free week in grad school, and I said, I'm going to go for it. And I did. It was tough, but I did it. And then I was sad that there was no more. Only for that New Year's there to be an announcement that there was going to be a new anime adaptation, which is what we got in 2022. So that's cool. It's also interesting that Urusei Yatsura, the anime, did a good job of changing the art style alongside how Rumiko Takahashi was changing the art style of the manga. They were kind of doing so in tandem. So the changes that Rumiko Takahashi was making, you ultimately saw in the later episodes of Urusei Yatsura. And I'm not sure if Studio Dean, I'm not 100% sure if they're the ones who did Maison Ikkoku, but the same is actually applied there. There's an early Maison Ikkoku, and then there's like a later Maison Ikkoku, except that one comes later on. Except that one comes earlier on, because I think Rumiko Takahashi was very much in her artistic bag at that point, so she knew exactly what it was that she was doing. But Urusei Yatsura managed to capture, and I mean the anime managed to capture, what it was that she was doing, how her artistry was progressing as she was slowly mastering it. 1981 did a good job over its, I want to say, 5 or 6 year tenure of just making the show look current, look relevant, and look like it came from Rumiko Takahashi's work. And that's just really great to see a studio evolve with the artist. Maybe it's just because when we see adaptations now, there's usually a fair amount of manga to go off of moving forward, which was kind of the case here. But you kind of know, I would say a lot more artists are super sure of where it is, the direction that they're going to go when adapting an anime. But to change it on the fly like they did here was awesome. It really was. And ultimately, what I really love about 81's run more than anything is that, like I said, there are a lot of original episodes, a lot of original characters. I don't know how many episodes were dedicated to them making movies. But the show, or I guess I should say the showrunners, understood at a certain point that they were stagnating and that they were nearing the risk of overstaying their welcome. And they knew exactly when to bow out and did it in a way that it could only do with the manga not being finished. And that's with, I'm sure you guessed it, an original episode, which actually is really sweet, but also makes absolutely no sense, which I guess you could say about Urusei Yatsura period. But I remember watching that and just thinking, this is cute, but what the fuck am I looking at? I mentioned City Pop, and one of the prime examples, I mean, everyone knows about the original theme song, but if you stuck around with Urusei Yatsura and you got to the fourth opening, there was a song called Chance on Love by a wonderful singer who was no longer with us named Cindy. Cindy has my heart for that song alone. I mean, I actively sing that in the shower and on the way to work because I have a CD that has all of the original openings and ending songs from Urusei Yatsura on it. I roll my windows down because I'm an absolute menace to society when Chance on Love comes out, and I am just belting that shit always. It's incredible. I love it so much. There's also a little bit of rock, too. Stephanie did a couple of songs called Rock the Planet and Everyday. Everyday, once again, I turn into a menace. I roll my windows down. That is just a wonderful piece of rock history. Stephanie and Cindy are both goddesses in my eyes. Stephanie also actually did the music for my favorite Urusei Yatsura movie, which is the third one, Remember My Love, which we'll get into later. But the song is actually called Remember My Love, and I'm like, oh, Stephanie, you wonderful woman. Yes, yes, yes. But overall, like I said, there was a stagnation, and that's because there's a slog due to the creative risk that they took. But the sheer variety and the promise of a weird but enjoyable experience made each episode worth watching. Except for a few. There was this one teacher before, Onsen Mark, who is just one of the greatest fictional characters of all time, who just everyone agrees universally, we hate this man. I can't even remember his name, but I am looking dead at him and I hate him. It's a truly revolutionary anime that, like I said, influenced many creators and fans, myself included. And the last few things that I'll say about 1981 is that Onsen Mark, also known as Onsen Chad or Chad Mark, is an absolute king, and so is Ryunosuke's dad, Uminosuke. Now let's get into the movies. 5 out of the 6 movies are actually non-canon. Only the fifth one, which is aptly titled Urusei Yatsura The Final Chapter, is canon. And the first 5 ran from 1983 to 1988. There was a 6th one that was also non-canon that released in 1991. The first 2 films, Only You and Beautiful Dreamer, were both directed by Mamoru Oshii. Now, I think Only You just feels like a traditional episode from early Urusei Yatsura, like just an extended version of one of the longer episodes that took place, probably starting around episode 20-ish. Like, I could see this being between episodes 20 and 30. But then you have Beautiful Dreamer, which carries the latter half of Oshii's energy because it is just super weird, but everyone loves it. I guarantee you, if you introduce yourself to an Urusei Yatsura fan over the age of 30, they will probably tell you that Beautiful Dreamer is what got them into the series. My personal favorite is Remember My Love, and I will say that it actually feels like, it feels Urusei Yatsura, but it also just feels like a film, which the first two kind of don't. Like I said, Only You feels like an extended episode, and Beautiful Dreamer just feels like a head trip, which, I mean, I know we've had trippy films, but it felt like an Oshi episode. But Remember My Love is inconsequential to the main story. It's kind of like a Pokemon film. You know how it's like they kind of happened, but they didn't happen? That's how Remember My Love feels. And again, you've got that wonderful track from Stephanie that just carries. It's cinematic, you know, it's a full adventure. It's wild, and it's not as abstract as Beautiful Dreamer, but I will say it's way more fun than Only You. Movie 4, Lumna Forever. I've watched several reviews. I have read several reviews. I've tried watching the film more than twice. I just don't get it. It kind of pissed me off a little bit. I was aggravated. I felt gross after. It's kind of engaging and it's intriguing, but overall it's nonsensical and boring when you really get to it. You're like, oh, I think I get, no, I'm engaged because I feel like I have to be. And then you just kind of fall out. I didn't care for it at all. Movie 5, like I said, is the only canonical film, and I think is beautifully done. And fun fact, you know how I said the Beautiful Dreamer is what got a lot of people into Urusei Yatsura, probably? Maybe some people into anime, period. Well, Movie 5, the final chapter, was actually my entry point into Urusei Yatsura. I was like, what is this? It was just on YouTube, and I watched it, and I said, this is great. And I said, I wonder if there's anything attached to it because it's called the final chapter. And I find out there's a whole show. I see that there's 4 movies that come out before it and 195 episodes. And I said, oh shit, I literally just skipped to the very end of the series. So obviously that wasn't a good feeling, but even without all of that context, I still said, this is a great movie. And then after I finished everything, those 4 movies and those 195 episodes, I watched it again and I really appreciated it even more. Movie 6 just felt like a cash grab. Nobody was really acting like themselves, all the characters, I mean, and it was really frustrating to watch, even more so than Movie 4, because while Movie 4 was, you know, abstract and boring, the characters in Movie 6 and the plot itself were just aggravating. So, I mean, I would recommend, you know, you could totally watch Movie 1. I would definitely recommend Movie 2, Beautiful Dreamer, Movie 3, Remember My Love, and Movie 5, the final chapter, after you've finished the series. And you can watch any of them that you want, really. I'm not your dad. But those are just my recommendations. Finally, 2022, Urusei Yatsura, also known as Urusei Yatsura All-Stars. This is 100% faithful to the manga. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's from Daybreak Production. Daybreak Production being the absolute chads who brought us the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime. The newer one, not the one from the 80s or 90s. With just incredible art design, art direction, and character designs. The new voices, some of them are okay. Others are pretty good. When you have just this great original cast of characters, or maybe when you just listen to them nonstop for 195 episodes and 6 movies, you can't really detach yourself from that. So I know that there's a bit of bias behind that, but I mean, everyone did fine or above. Not many were great. The 2022 series mainly followed the segment rule, except for a few episodes, including the final saga, which, as opposed to being a movie, was adapted into, I believe, 4 episodes? The last 4 episodes. And this anime is, I want to say, either 44, somewhere between 44 and 48 episodes, so it's way more digestible. They literally just took the best stories, and, I mean, it worked, I think. I mean, I don't know, when you're going band for band with the manga, it begs the question that if nothing's added, should I just read the manga? But again, it's pretty, and I think that even going band for band with the manga, there is enough added, at least aesthetically, to warrant a watch. I would say also that the segments, as opposed to the full episodes that the original Urusei Yatsura anime had, it really allows for more stories to be told in an accurate and not drawn-out time. You know, for filler purists, and they're still weird stories. I mean, it's Urusei Yatsura, but they're enjoyable. And I'm okay with that. I really am. There are a lot of callbacks to the original anime, though. I mean, even the soundtrack is nothing but a huge callback to the original Urusei Yatsura, and I think that that is absolutely adorable, because I think that the 2022 series is an absolute love letter to Urusei Yatsura as a whole. And you can really see that in the first opening, because you see references to the manga, the video games. I think there might be a reference to the old anime, I'm not sure. But they really did their research on this one, and they said, we know we have a lot to pull from. I was actually shocked to see that one of my favorite manga covers, which is my screensaver on my phone, they used it in the opening, like the exact same photo. And I thought that was so cool. There are also references to other Rumiko Takahashi works, and I thought that the Rama ones were really funny. Onsen Mark and Ryunosuke's dad were not as great as they were in 1981. And I think that's the biggest injustice that could be done to this book, to this show, and to those characters. But it's okay. We still have 1981. Onsen Mark and Ryunosuke's dad are still great there. It's okay. It's okay. But all that aside, every single opening and ending for Urusei Yatsura 2022, they are all bangers. 4 and 4. All 8 done by Maison Des. I hope I said that right. I kid you not. I sincerely want to go to one of their concerts, and I want to buy their merch. But overall, this is a fun, energetic, and charming adaptation, though maybe because I spent so much time with the original anime, I would have to say I prefer it, but I could easily watch either of them at any time. I would say that the liberties paid off more times than not, though the way that the reboot frames things is great, but there's just not as many stories told, even if some of them were repetitive, but you know, it is what it is. Like I said, they're both great, and so are the movies. Well, the movies that I like, which you may like more than I do. But overall, no matter what point you enter, though I would recommend the manga and 1981, Urusei Yatsura is just a wonderful series that I love with all my heart. Seriously, Rumiko Takahashi is an absolute queen, and because of this series, I've made a lot of friends, and I've learned so much about anime. Please watch and read Urusei Yatsura. I have just had such a wonderful journey with this series, and I'm glad that this is what I could do to close out Volume 5. And with that, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Threads, that's also AnimeAlphaGoat. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And really, thank you all so much for being so supportive with this wacky volume that Volume 5 has been. I've really enjoyed it, and I will see you in Volume 6. Probably before then, but you know what I mean. And with that, for the 5th ending in a row, I am out of this volume.